In the name of Jesus. Can you recall whether or not you were here this past Ash Wednesday of 2017? I'm pretty sure I was. And maybe you remember being here, or maybe you weren't here. That's fine. But as you know, it's been kind of a crazy couple of months for my family, and the last several days in particular. So I haven't had time to really put much thought into a sermon. So if you were here last year, what I have to say is ditto. Yeah. It's the same as last year. You are a sinner. You deserve condemnation, eternal death. The ashes in the sign of the cross are a reminder of that, but they also remind you that despite your sin, or even because of your sin, God has provided you with a Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives you full and free and abundant pardon. And you know what? You can't out-sin God's grace in Christ. Not that you should try to, not that you should try to establish a world record, an Olympian record for sin. And I know you wouldn't do that because you are redeemed by Christ and the Holy Spirit has given you faith in Christ. And you strive with the Spirit's aid, with the Spirit's empowering, to live a life of repentance and faith. Now, the theme of Lent is one of repentance. Of course, Christ's sufferings and death and preparation for the Easter Resurrection Festival are part of Lent. But particularly on this Ash Wednesday, we reflect upon repentance. And I want to ask you, have you repented enough? Have you repented adequately for God to forgive you your sins? The readings for this Ash Wednesday, the readings from Scripture, all speak of repentance, a change of mind, a change of direction in one way or another, although they don't use that word. But if I could define repentance in my own unoriginal way, repentance is recognizing that you, without Christ, are a lost case. You, without Christ, are a hopeless sinner. And repentance is to recognize that fact. Repentance is to hear God's law and recognize that it points its accusing finger at you. And you know what they say, when you point your finger at someone else, there's four fingers pointing back at you. Well, that's the case for me when I preach the law to you, because the law also accuses and condemns me as a sinner. In today's gospel reading, Jesus speaks of avoiding practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. You know, put it this way, don't strut around. I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm better than the rest of those people. But we tend to do that, or at least I tend to do that. How many times have I done a good work? And I pat myself on the back and say, way to go. God must be really pleased with you. God must be happy with you. God is very lucky to have you as a member of his kingdom, a member of his family. But that isn't the case. I'm very lucky, you could say, although lucky isn't the word. I'm very blessed to be a member of God's family through faith in Christ Jesus, who died and was raised again for me. And you are equally blessed. All who believe in Christ share equally in the blessing of God's mercy and grace and forgiveness in the gospel. Jesus goes on to say, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. Do I pray in the synagogue? And that they may be seen by others. Well, God forbid that I should pray to be seen by others, because God hears the prayers of a babbling idiot when those prayers are offered in faith, which, you know, I fill the shoes there. God doesn't listen to our prayers because they are beautifully phrased and because other people may say, oh, what a beautiful prayer that was. It surely must have touched the heart of God. Here's a prayer that touches the heart of God. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And again, in this Lenten season, we are reminded of that fact. When you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, Jesus said, for they disfigure their faces. I see a lot of disfigured faces out there. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Well, again, if you wear these ashes out in public tonight, God isn't going to be impressed with you. God isn't going to say, wow, a really devout, dedicated Christian. Look at that messy face. No, the ashes are for your benefit, not to get you into God's good graces. These ashes are the ashes of death, kind of like dust to dust, ash to ash. Yeah, we are mortal. We have brought death upon ourselves on account of the sin that we've inherited from Adam, and that sin which we sowed joyfully indulge in ourselves. One day it all ends. One day we'll be like my mom, who's got 36 to 48 hours left in this earthly veil of sorrows. Although she bounces back like crazy, so she may outlive me. But at any rate, we're going to be in that place. And the earth will be laid over us when we are in our grave. And certainly if I should be the pastor or another pastor who officiates at your funeral, the sign of the cross may very well be poured or formed on your casket, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You aren't going to wear these ashes in heaven. You aren't going to be adorned with ashes in the resurrection of the body, but you will be adorned with the holy saving cross of Jesus Christ, your Savior. It may not be visible, but you know what? You wouldn't participate in the resurrection, the glorious resurrection of the dead, were it not for the cross of Christ and his empty tomb. You would not enjoy eternal fellowship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were it not for Jesus Christ and his cross and his empty tomb. You would not have a hope in the world were it not for Jesus Christ and his cross and his empty tomb. No, you won't wear this cross formed of ashes, but you will be adorned in the righteousness of Christ, for the cross was probably first traced upon you when you were baptized. Receive the sign of the cross, both upon your heart and upon your head, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. So it's because of Jesus we enter into this Lenten season. It's because of Jesus that our repentance is strengthened and we can despair of ourselves and trust in Christ alone. So again, Yeah, live a life of repentance. You know, meditate upon repentance. And basically what repentance is, it's like the needle of a compass. You know, you take the compass, you turn it, and it may be over here, and then it points, swings around and points true north. Ed, which direction is north from here? Hey, I got it. True north. Jesus Christ is true north. He is the point on the compass upon which your faith is oriented, upon which your life as a Christian is oriented. And so you come to hear God's holy word. You come to receive the gift of the sacrament of the altar. You depart this place with sins forgiven, in peace. The peace of Christ, which passes all human understanding. And though your repentance is not sufficient in and of itself, God's grace is sufficient. God's mercy in Christ is sufficient. Jesus Christ, the one who died to take away all of your sins, the one who was raised again for your justification, is completely, totally, entirely, absolutely, 100%, and you can throw in any adverbs you wish, 100% sufficient for your salvation, for your eternal blessedness, and your eternal fellowship with the triune God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of Christ, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.